You're listening to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here in the studio with me is Beth Weigel, Museum Director for the City Museum. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for being here. You guys come in about once a month and give us some updates on what's going on, and it is a new month.
It's a new month, and it's a new season.
Yeah.
We're out of tourist season.
That's right.
And we're into what we call our winter season, and with that comes some changes in our hours and a couple other great surprises for our community. So now we are open Tuesday through Saturdays, 10 to 4, and we also have a variety of sponsors who sponsor the free admission program. So anybody in the community can now come to the City Museum till the end of April for free.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Starting now through April?
Starting now,
it's
yes.
It's free admission.
That's right. And this month, we'll thank Don and Alma Harris for sponsoring free admission. We'll also have In Memory of Mike Blackwell in November. Michelle Storr is amazing. She sponsors 3 months in January, February,
wow.
and March. And then we'll have, oh, sorry, I missed December. The Pioneers Igloo, number 6, sponsors December. And then we'll have April in Memory of Marie Darlin. So we
wow.
just have some great people out there who support the museum, and that pays off for our community members who can now come to the museum for free.
That is really exciting. That is really great news.
Yeah.
And who, again, sponsored the month of October one more time?
Don and Alma Harris.
Wow. Well, big thanks, because that I know that I would really appreciate that. So free admission to the City Museum. Well, that's what wonderful news you bring today, Beth.
I know. It's pretty funny with the last couple of cruise ship passengers, and they walk in and they're like, what? What's going on? We don't have to pay? And we're like, no, it's free.
But it hasn't always been. So
that's right.
I hope they took advantage of that. Well, that's great news. Yay. All right. What else is going on at the City Museum? Anything in particular for First Friday?
Well, this month is the last month of our summer exhibitions that we've had up. So it'll be a continuation of our Rhythm of Winter exhibit. That's our big summer exhibit that's all about the history of winter. And interestingly, those panels we're going to then move down to one of the shops so that our city streets won't be quite so bare when the shops are closed.
Really?
So those fun panels that talk all about the various historical things from our winters of past will be out and about, so people can enjoy those on the city streets.
I love that. What
yeah.
a great idea. So it's going to go up in the windows of some of the seasonal places that close
yes,
for the winter.
Right there on Front Street where oh. Annie Kale's used to be.
I love that.
Yeah. And then the last bit of time to also see Christian Carrillo's exhibit Legacy, which is pretty interesting. She's definitely digging into how marine plastics can contaminate and affect our marine ecology and mammals. So
those paintings are really powerful.
Yeah.
I have had a chance to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And those are going to be up until when?
Till about the third week of October is when we'll start taking things down, and then we'll start getting ready for our solo artists. We'll have 4 solo artists through November, December, January, February, and then we'll do our 12 by 12 in April.
Great. Do you know who's going up next after the summer?
Yes, in November this year, we've got Rachel Jusler will be
cool.
our solo artist. So
I know she works with glass. Is it going to be something along those lines?
Yeah, she does a lot of recycling of found stuff, you know, a lot of like iron and glass and things like that. The title of her exhibit is called Reconstructed Refuse 5. I'm thinking it's the fifth kind of like iteration of this. So she'll feature a lot of her recent works, and she does found object mosaics and sculptural pieces, wall works. She'll do that a large scale chandelier for in there as well, but that's not till November.
Lovely.
So
okay, yeah, that's something to look forward to, a
yeah.
change, although the exhibits that are up now are pretty great, so
thank
I
you.
Hope everybody's had a chance to see them, and if you haven't, you still have some time. With First Friday and free admission, all that.
You right. We are going to just have our regular hours on First Friday from till 4
oh, good.
O'clock. So.
Okay, great. And then you have an upcoming program on October 29th that you wanted to talk about. Tell me about that one.
Yeah. So since we're, you know, under the umbrella of the Juneau Public Library as
mm-hmm.
well, we're joining in on the fun with the NEA Big Read. And we not only have books up there that people can pick up if you want to get involved in reading the book, you can stop by the museum instead of, you know, if you're not close to one of the libraries, we have them available there. And then our friends over at NOAA Fisheries are going to do a program on it's really charting the history of moving from commercial whaling to now how we do whale watching and protection services. And I think it's going to be great. Three different biologists or scientists there at Fisheries, at the National Marine Fisheries, Elyria Jensen, Sadie Wright, and Susie Tierlink are going to be doing what we call one of our city salons. It'll be out at the Valley Library on the 29th, and it'll be at 6:30. And they're going to all take their turn sort of covering a little bit of history and information about whales. Elyria is going to talking about whaling history in Southeast Alaska in the early 20th century. She'll have photos that show some of what was going on in Port Armstrong, which is closer to Sitka, and Murder Cove, which is on the southern part of Admiralty or over at Killisnoo. And then Sadie, she's a protected species biologist at NOAA, and she's worked with the Marine Mammal Stranding Network, and she coordinates a lot of responses to dead and injured whales throughout Southeast Alaska. And she had a really rare opportunity to respond to a dead sperm whale that was found in Lynn Canal, just north of Juneau. And so she's going to talk a little bit about how we've shifted our focus from like processing dead animals during like commercial whaling times to performing health investigations when whales do show up dead. And you can learn more about, you know, just their lives and the threats to the populations here through some of those things. So she'll share some of her story around this National Marine Fisheries-led necropsy of a sperm whale, which is, you know, the whales that were being hunted for the spermaceti in their heads, you know, that was the gold for, you know, people in the whaling industry.
Mm-hmm. And there's a sperm whale in the book, In the Heart of the Sea.
Exactly, yes.
That's the NEA big read this month.
Right. And then Susie Tierlink, she's also, she's a marine mammal specialist and works in the protected resource division as well. And she's focuses on bycatch issues and whale watching best practices. And so she's just been working for more than a decade with the whale watching industry in Juneau to come up with some of these really important practices when we are doing tourism around whales. And so she's going to talk about how the economics of whales have shifted from whaling to whale watching, highlighting what's called the Whale Sense Program. And it's a voluntary best practices program established between NOAA Fisheries and whale watch operators. And it promotes, you know, sustainable industry and minimizes the impacts to whales and wildlife viewing. So it should be a really great program. Our city salons usually are set up like that. So we have sort of three different people to kind of start these really interesting conversations. I might do a little touch on the book as well. And we're just super excited about it.
I think that sounds like it's going to be great. And I cracked open the book last night, so I'm on my way to learning all that stuff. And I look forward to the programs that are going to be supplementing the book as we read it. And city salons, are these things that you guys do pretty regularly?
Yeah, so we have a couple different formats for our programs. People are probably most familiar with our coffee and collections, which happen Saturday morning sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like the city salon, I sort of started that when I came on board as the director. It's just a different format for programs that had a little bit more flexibility to how, you know, we would talk about things. And I liked calling it that because my old coworker at the library, Mark Whitman, he always would say to me, he goes, "Now, Beth, you're up at the City Museum. It's the city's salon. People can come and sit and talk and, you know, and it's really the heart there." And I was like, okay, that's perfect. And it kind of harkens back to like French salons and conversational, you know, intellectual like stimulation. So
I love it. That's great. And then the last thing we want to talk about today is education kits.
Yeah. So we just finished our grant and aid for our fiscal year of 2019. We had a little bit of an extension because there was some delay in the funding that year. And so we just wrapped that up and we created these great new educational kits for pretty much anyone could check out. They're geared a little bit towards teachers in the school district because we had teachers create them. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of different ones. They'll be circulating through the city public libraries pretty soon. And the different topics that we have We did a little bit of research first to see what would be of interest to people. And so we have one that's about observing and learning from artifacts that's geared towards K through 4. We have one on totem poles and oral narrative and art form for grades 1 through 3. Discovering Treadwell, grades 2 through 3. Wooden waterways, a look at Tlingit canoes. That's grades 3 through 5. And then all about the Montana Creek fish trap, grades 3 through 5. And then one on local disasters that's for a little bit older, grades 6 through 12. So it's all inclusive. Like, the kit comes with, you know, some curriculum guidelines and all these different activities that are hands-on and place-based. And you can do it with your classroom, or you can, if you're a homeschool teacher, you could do it with your homeschool groups, or if you're an organization that's having a program, it might fit with something that you're doing in that sense as well. So we're just really grateful to the Alaska State Museum and that grant and aid program that helped fund us putting those together.
Yeah, those sound like great resources.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, Beth Weigel, thanks again for coming in today and talking about the City Museum. As always, you have a lot of stuff going on and continue to be a great resource for our community. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great October.